So, alright, I'll do this foil and stop. Alright. So, what we've done up to now today is we've sort of introduced the general types of PDEs. We then showed how they become matrix equations. We noted that iterative equations were quite natural, methods were quite natural physically. Now we're becoming numerical analysts or linear algebraists or something, and we're formulating, we're now writing out mathematically the different methods just in terms of their matrix form. And so we're solving the equation AX equals B. A is the matrix, which remember is largely zero. Really everything is zero. X is the solution vector, which is going to be, in our examples, the values of psi or the field at internal points. B is going to be, which is mathematically the right hand side, is in an example, it's essentially the boundary values. We're going to solve it iteratively with a label called K. In order to write out these various these various iteration methods, we want to write A as B minus L minus U, where D is the diagonal, so which is all ones or all fours, depending on how you write the Jacobi method. U and L minus U is minus the upper triangular matrix, minus L is minus L is the lower triangular part. It's everything below the diagonal excluding the diagonal. And then we get these so these iterative methods are characterized by, I believe, for most elliptic problems, well, for all the simpler elliptic problems, they all converge. The rate of convergence is different, as we'll see for them, but they will all converge. For complicated elliptic problems, they're not guaranteed to converge. And the analog of these methods, which are used for hyperbolic equations, are probably guaranteed typically to diverge. So you can actually, you can make a few remarks. So I guess I meant to make a remark about iteration, which is sort of saying that as a computer scientist, one is at a disadvantage because almost always the choice of iteration and the reason for the divergence is somehow connected with the science. And the only people who can solve the problem are the sort of computational scientists studying that problem, because usually it's connected with the physical system you're solving. Like in the case of numerical black holes, we have a divergence, which they're currently studying, which is connected with the so-called inner boundary, which is the boundary of the black hole. And so that inner boundary has a very important physical significance, that there's a physical principle that no information can come out of a black hole, because light rays are bent, and because of the strong gravitational attraction, no information can actually escape from a black hole. It starts out in the middle of a black hole, bends and comes back in. So all information is trapped in a black hole. So that says the boundary of a black hole is a very important physical statement. And yet here you are, you gaily put down your grid points and they slap in the middle of a black hole where the equations where it doesn't mean anything. And so in formulating the way you do this boundary, you have to understand deeply what happens physically at the black hole boundary. And and you will find the same is true in computational flow dynamics, where the boundaries are connected with so-called boundary layers, which are very closely connected with the physics of airflow and the viscosity, etc. So typically what computer scientists can do is they have to provide tools which scientists can then use in an artistic fashion to try to make their equations converge. Because there is no mathematics which will tell you whether or not these methods converge. If you are solving a Laplace's equation, you can do some mathematics to tell you whether or not it converges. If I give you a general, typically nonlinear physical problem, which in some limit reduces to the Laplace's equation, you can just smile and say, well, you know, there's some theorems that apply in special cases, but in the general case, all bets are off. So what you have to do is you give them intuition as to what might happen. So if you're a numerical analyst, you can give them some general theorems which never apply. As a computer scientist, you can give them some tools to do some experimentations. But the basic work is either the art or the science of the computationalists in those various areas sitting there saying, seeing that it converges or diverging, and saying, well, that convergence is due to try to understand it physically and extrapolate to different problems to see how to apply, which method to continue to apply. So, and as I mentioned, it can take many, many years to establish reliable convergent methods for a given problem. And so that's one of the reasons actually parallel computing has taken so long to catch on, because you can't hand somebody a parallel computer and say, oh, it's 100 times faster, why don't you go and find out what black holes do? Because when you go from the two-dimensional problems you did on your simple computer to the full three-dimensional or case of a physical space-time, you're going to get to a whole new set of iterative methods, and you haven't the slightest idea offhand which ones will actually work, because there are endless different discretizations, there are endless different choices of coordinates and different formulations of the problem, and you need to, and it's now not at all obvious which ones are going to be the most successful. So it turns out that computation is not a deterministic science. It only becomes engineering once people have done the pioneering work, found out the tools that work, and then they can encapsulate that into a black box that tells you what happens when air goes over the wing of an aircraft with a certain degree of approximation. But even then, I mean, people do not have reliable codes that tell you what happens when air goes over an aircraft wing, except in approximations. There is no reliable method of solving the Navier-Stokes equations in general. So what we're going to therefore focus on next time is we'll go on and describe these tools, but we will never be able to tell you which tool works on a real problem. And that's life. That's why it's a science. You know, this is science, and it requires research. But you do require to be the application scientist to do that. I believe in very rarely is the solution found by, if you like, the computer scientist. It's almost always found by the person who understands the science. Okay, thank you. And I will put up a homework on the web, and the next meeting will be Thursday, not Tuesday. I'm away next Tuesday.